David D hanging out with you this afternoon, and sitting in front of me is an unsung hero, but he's somebody who I would not trade the world for to have on this particular show as we come up and talk about the anniversary of last year's tragedy, Hurricane Katrina. We're talking about Mr. David Banner. A lot of y'all know him for, what do you put out, like 3 or 4 albums now, man? A bunch of albums. But, you know, of course, last year, this time, you had the hit record Play. That was the number one song in the country. You were on tour representing your home state of Mississippi when Hurricane Katrina had hit and the tragedy started to unfold. And we had you on the airwaves last year this time, and you were very animated, man. You were very focused, like a righteous anger, like something was wrong and you were determined to fix it. So here we are a year later, and maybe we can walk back and kind of relive that for a moment, where you were and what you were feeling when Hurricane Katrina hit.
When Katrina hit, well, first of all, what we have to understand is, I think that we as a people, and when I say people, I don't mean just black people, I mean underprivileged people, people who have been discriminated against, the poor, we have always been left in the cold. We've always gotten the last, if there's anything left, you know. Hurricane Katrina wasn't a surprise for me. My anger didn't come in the way that they treated us because, you know, if you really listen to our music, not just the Like a Pimps, not just the Plays, not just the Crank It Ups, the songs like that. If you listen to our albums, especially mine, you hear we've been talking this since day one. You know, it wasn't, like, perfect example, Kanye's comment, that wasn't a surprise to us. It was the fact that Kanye had the balls to say it when he was as hot as he was. You know, most people who are, you know, in that position, they're going to run to the high heels. And, you know, but me, I was more upset because my people were suffering and that I had an opportunity to see it firsthand. I'm going to be honest with you. One of my weaknesses is my emotions, because I'm an emotional guy. When I get mad, I want to fight. You know, if I'm happy, I want to laugh loud. Ah, if I'm sad, I want to cry. Just, you know, I still kick your ass. But point being was, I was hurt because I had the opportunity to go and see the destruction that Hurricane Katrina had caused. And I had never seen nothing like that in my life. It sent me into, you know, a slight depression. You know what I'm saying? To see that much pain.
Now, you were in Mississippi. You know, most of the focus has been on New Orleans, you know, big city, you know, it's a major port, et cetera, et cetera. But Mississippi was, you know, physically more damage was done there, and that's where the brunt of the hurricane was. And that's been all but ignored by the mainstream.
I mean, it's hilarious to me because I said, if you remember on your show, I said that that was going to happen. You know, I said once the cameras cut off, what people were going to do. It's partially our fault as Mississippians, and it's of course the system's fault. Number one of the problems in Mississippi is that we have been so abused historically since, you know, the slave trade, you know, since we got here, you know. We've always had to take soul food. I call it the soul food mentality. We've always had to accept less because we always knew nobody was coming for us. Like I say, we knew what people were going to do. You know what I'm saying? So it's sort of like we accept the worst and we just become stronger. So we don't raise that much hell because we know ain't nobody listening. Ain't no cameras down there. You know, that's why I'm in L.A. and New York as much as I am, because I can't, you know, I got to be in front of a camera. You can't be, you know, a rap superstar and you're not in front of no damn cameras, you know. So people take advantage of that, you know. And what pisses me off the most is, damn it, and it's not taking nothing away from anybody's pain, but if we want to talk about Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Katrina didn't hit New Orleans. The levees broke. You understand what I'm saying? Hurricane Katrina hit the coast of Mississippi. the coast of Louisiana. You understand what I'm saying? So the eye of the storm hit there. So if we truly talking about the destruction that Hurricane Katrina caused, we talking about Mississippi. You know what I'm saying? But one of the reasons why I'm not more vocal about that, because then what the media do is turn it into a bid between, you know, Louisiana and Mississippi, and it's not about that. It's about everybody needs help. You understand what I'm saying? It's funny because when I look at even people who are from Mississippi who are millionaires, and you know who I'm talking about, the first thing they do when they get on TV, they talk about Louisiana. And I'm like, okay, that's cool, that's fine. They're going to be all right, because when the media focuses on something, people can't help but be emotional about that place. So they're going to get the bulk of the money. You know, what about the people who were the brokest people in the first place? You know, the thing was, is we were messed up from day one.
We're talking with David Banner, rap superstar, if you're just tuning in. You know, on the anniversary of the Katrina catastrophe, one of the things that kind of stood out for me with respect to you was what you immediately did, you know, on a tour bus, stopped your tour bus, and you personally were delivering waters. You know, I remember you talking. I mean, it's like it took a long time to get you on the phone because you were really running around. You wasn't like, you know, having your minions do this, but you got your own trucks and everything, was delivering it. And I guess, you know, just from my standpoint, I was a little disheartened when I seen the Oprah specials and, you know, and they did all these news things, and, you know, they were like, well, Sean Penn and John Travolta came down there, and Harry Connick Jr. And I was like, man, where's David Banner? What happened to David Banner's efforts? You know, and I mean, you know, we got to give you your props on that. But for the sake of people who don't know, describe what you did and describe what you were seeing so that we get a better understanding of what you were going through.
It's crazy because a lot has been taken away from not only, you know, my personal life, but my career. The last, I say 5 months after Katrina, that's about all I did. You know what I'm saying? And what people forget about is my album dropped the Tuesday after Hurricane Katrina.
You couldn't promote your album.
I chose not to promote my album, and that's my fault. I take that. You know, there's no problem with that. But then,
but you chose not to do it because you stayed involved with the effort. But that's something that people need to recognize, that, you know, I mean, maybe you're not going to sing the praise, but I think it's noteworthy that your album last year was the biggest album of your career, potentially, because of the hit song. All eyes were perched on you. All the ducks were lined up in a row for David Banner to really go to that next level. And most people would have tried to flip that whole situation to benefit that. And I know the record companies a lot of times would push that. Instead, you took the step and said, you're going to go to Mississippi, go underground, do the work, unsung, no cameras, no lights, none of that, and just did it.
Well, what happened was, I actually, and I honestly can give Universal, you know, because I be on their back a lot, but I honestly can say they put me in front of a camera, like for my album. Like, I was on BET all week, I was on MTV all, I was even on TRL. Come on now, you know, black folk from Mississippi don't get on TRL, man. And I just took those opportunities, and instead of doing what they paid for me to do, I talked about Hurricane Katrina. And that was on me. So I have to stand for that, you know. And the thing is, I don't get my reward from man. I get my reward from God. And it really took me, you know, to understand, David D, you know what I come from, homeboy. You know, and, man, I mean, for me to be doing what I'm doing, it's not taking away from it. You know, the thing I think that pisses me off more than what we're talking about now is the fact that if I would have fought another rapper, if I would have touched a white girl's ass, if I would have did anything negative, people would have talked about it. But, you know, perfect example, when people thought I had a problem with Kanye West, you know what I'm saying, because I did a freestyle over one of his songs, I got more calls about that than me, you know, throwing possibly the biggest urban relief concert in history, which was the Hill of Hood concert in Atlanta. But what we also have to come back historically, because I know that you feel the same way about history as I do. historically, that's what America is about. America is not in the business of healing people. America is not in the business of saving people. America is in the business of making money and sex, violence, and drug sales, not you doing what you're supposed to do. Because if they talk about David Banner, then that's showing David Banner, damn it, probably did more than the government did.
And you can't have the 1-2 punch. Kanye said you didn't care about black people when David Banner did more than Bush.
And David Banner ain't going to say it as nicely as Kanye did. They're going to have to bleep me out. That bleep, 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 because suck my bleep, bleep, kiss my bleep, bleep. But one thing I also have to take responsibility for, I never thought of myself as a gangster rapper. It's funny that, you know, I even didn't know that I was foul-mouthed. Like, really, I speak the way that's most comfortable to me in an environment that I come from and the music that I honestly listen to. You know, I grew up off of UGK, Scarface, 8-Ball of MJG, Too Short, Snoop Dogg, N.W.A., Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg. That's the kind of music that I make. That's what I'm most comfortable at making, and that's the environment in which I came out of. So I speak about the things that I see and the things that I've done. I don't necessarily say I'm a gangster rapper. I had to do gangster things because I was put in gangster situations. But if you look at me now, I don't do them now. I don't want to do them. You know, I told somebody once, I said, you know, yeah, I used to be a little gangster. I wasn't the biggest one in the world, but I did some really bad things. But that was because of the situation that I was in. But what I will tell people is, and please do not cut this out, and when I say this, turn it up. All these so-called positive people, all these so-called positive rappers, all these so-called positive philanthropists, I didn't see them in the hood. I saw Jeezy. I saw T.I. T.I. raised $250,000 in one day and gave it directly to David Banner. Jeezy pulled $15,000 out of his pocket and came to Mississippi. Rode down to Mississippi. He came. Nelly came for my concert. You know, since they talk about Tip Drill so bad and they want to discredit that man's name. You know what I'm saying? Outkast came to my concert. You feel what I'm saying? D for L, they came. The Franchise Boys, they came. Jermaine Dupri came. Lil Jon was front and center for me. So it's like all the so-called gangster rappers, them was the ones that was in the hood. Them the ones that was doing the things for our people and wasn't doing it. It was crazy. Jeezy got upset. Because I was telling people that he gave money. He said, I don't want to do it. And people see that I did it. I'm doing it because I'm supposed to do it. I don't want no kind of credit. But I was like, dude, we got to take credit. Because when the feds is looking for you, they're going to put all the negative things out here about you. I'll talk all day, bro.
No, I hear what you're saying. We've been talking with David Banner. You know, one of the things, you know, talk a little bit about that concert. Because you announced what you were going to do last year at this time, and that did, it was probably, like you said, one of the biggest relief efforts that came about, and it was an extraordinary feat that you pulled off in terms of how you got everybody together, but it got scant coverage. You know, they didn't do no big Times article, but talk a little bit about that so we kind of understand, for the record, what went down.
Now, what I do want to say is LA Times did a very big story on it. New York Times did a very big story on it. It's funny, I get more love from the magazines that you never think you could get.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Our things, we didn't see it on some of those regular. It wasn't the morning gossip on those on the regular radio shows.
I'm gonna tell you what happened. Initially, nobody else ever knew about this. Initially, Summer and I can't name any names because it's crazy. It's a lot of politics, but a lot of the release shows that you saw that happened, I was a big reason why they happened. Like, I came to him starting, and then people would say, well, he's not big enough. So then they start bringing in bigger people. But then I pulled off. It's like, well, I don't want to do y'all's. I'm going to do my own. Because now now people are not doing it from their heart. They doing it, you know, so they can say, well, we did this. So I pulled out. People didn't believe that this Heal the Hood concert, and I cannot lie to you, this is why I have to give all praise due to God. And I thank the people you know, from Radio One that helped me start this, from all of the radio affiliates, the Clear Channels, the, you know, just everybody, Cox, the whole nine, especially the people from Atlanta that worked in the Hot in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? We did not believe this concert was this was going to be this big. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not an emotional guy at all. Bro, it almost brought tears to my eyes to see even the people who were in Phillips Arena didn't believe we were going to fill it up, you know.
This was at the Georgia Dome that you did this?
This was at Phillips Arena in Atlanta.
Okay.
And, dog, it was 15,000 people there, dude. And to know that God can bless you with a thought, but you have to be man enough, man or woman enough to step out on faith and go out there and make it happen. To see that many people there, dog, this was one of the first times in history that all urban outlets, all the competing stations got together, and DJs who were in the competing station, you know, you had people from V and people that were from Hot, they were on the same station. They was DJs actually getting on each other's stations and, you know, giving commentary, dog, and it wasn't no fights. It was no fights, and I know this has nothing to do with Katrina, but funny, we just had the Ozone Awards. There was no fights there, was no violence.
And this is Southern Rap Awards, yeah,
you know, and it's just to show the peace and show the love that we had together, dude. And all these rappers came together and they had no problems with each other. That's an accomplishment, and that's something to be applauded about within itself, and you never hear about it, but you know.
You know, let me ask you, you know, a year later, and you said that, you know, a lot of the mistreatment is something that should be expected, but I still can't help but, you know, just want to get your assessment about how you think things have are. You know, you still have a lot of people that are displaced. You know, I'm reading an article today in the LA Times about 250,000, 150,000 people still in Houston, still got 1,000 kids missing. And I don't know what's going on in Mississippi. I do know in New Orleans they've been pitting black and brown workers against each other. And we haven't heard about the type of building and infrastructure repair that's been going on in Mississippi. How have you been seeing things, and how are the residents in your state, you know, dealing with this?
Well, it's crazy because Mississippians, bro, it just shows you how much our people been through, bro. Like, people moving on with their lives, and the situation is terrible. I know my homeboy is from Pass Christian. He said they bulldozed the whole city. Now, there's a difference between your city being wrecked or it's laying in ruins, but imagine this is all you see.
Pointing to a flat thing on the couch here.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing. We don't even have to just tell them to close their eyes. There's nothing there. There's nothing, no trace of what it was. So even if they rebuild a brand new city, it's not going to be what it was. That's not your home, you know. And it's funny, they're fighting more over who's going to get this grant and that grant and not realizing that people are still sleeping in their yard, you know. And once again, I said this last.
People are still sleeping in the yards out there, missing.
The thing is that you have situations whereas you have groups of people who never designed for our people to return back homes, or at least in a timely enough manner where they could benefit off the things that's happening. Because on the flip side, it's a lot of damn money in the rebuilding of Mississippi and Louisiana, and it's a lot of money being thrown around. You know what I'm saying? People are making millions of dollars. I remember I had a friend guy that called me, and he was working in New Orleans. And I don't want to call his name because I don't want this to, or even tell you what position he worked in, because I in no way wanted to come back, because people trust me. So they called me and they were giving me examples of how, let's say, you had food companies, and this is a small example, who were paid to feed people. And let's say they got a people were allotted $15 a meal. They were giving these people $2 bologna sandwiches, 50-cent bologna sandwiches, you know, with cheese and no mayonnaise on it, and giving it to them, and them keeping the rest of the $15 that was allotted to them. Not even giving these people decent meals. You know, these are the type of things that these major corporations were doing to our people. You know what I'm saying? Giving the building grants to their homeboys. You know what I'm saying? And what you also have to understand, in the state of Mississippi, those are gambling zones. So in the next 5-6 years, the coast of Mississippi is going to be, you know, a land-based casino operation, which is going to make it a young Las Vegas. And imagine what's going to happen to our people's houses down there.
Right, because I know that there were a lot of, you know, I know they talked about Vietnamese families that lived near there that were, neighborhoods were just displaced, like you talked about your boy's town just being bulldozed. The black leadership in Mississippi, have they been able to make any sort of headway? Have they been able to have any sort of say-so?
Now, what I can say, what's going on in local government and in Mississippi, I really can't comment on that, because I haven't been in it. You know what I'm saying? I've been trying to get my life together, you know, and I'm not one to mislead people. You know, I only know what's going on in the hood right now. You know what I'm saying? I honestly was affected so heavily financially, spiritually, mentally, after Katrina, and just the things that I was doing. I was drained, you know.
You took 5 months off, didn't you?
Yeah, I wasn't. It took somebody like Andre Benjamin's mother and Nelly's auntie, who runs For Show for Kids, and I want to give a big shout out to Nelly's, because before I could get my non-for-profit organization set up right, he let me run my company under his company, you know, so that I would be able to accept checks or whatever. And you know, that's stuff that they don't talk about again, but a lot of stuff came from me personally. You know, it's funny, people criticize Jim Jones a lot, but it took Jim Jones to come to me and say, "Banner, man, this is draining your life, dog." He's like, "You can't do nothing for nobody until you do for yourself." He's like, "Dude, look at you, bro." It's like, I was physically getting clothes out of my house, shoes out of my house, money out of my, you know, out of my bank account. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, just here recently, I've been just trying to get, and once again, I wasn't paying attention to what feed me, which was my album. And at the same time, my album was falling, you know.
I remember I talked to you about 3 or 4 months after Katrina, and you know, we had an interesting, it was a brief conversation on the phone. I just called you, and you said I think you was talking a little, you alluded to the fact, you said I'm trying to remember what you said, but it was something about really walking that mile by yourself, and that a lot of, and that you was kind of disappointed that you didn't see more people stepping up and really, you know, looking at these efforts and saying, okay, let's join in.
I was tired, homie. Like, really, a lot of people did a lot of things, but a lot of people just dumped it on me. Like, here go $150,000. Okay, Banner, you go save the world. And what I want people to know is, like, I really didn't know what I was doing. I was just stepping up. I didn't know what else. Not, nice. If somebody hits your mama, whether you know how to fight or not, you gonna jump in there. You know, and our people was hurting, you know, and even with my non-for-profit organization, I took a lot of slaps. I almost got in trouble with the government for, you know, my paperwork not being set up right. All I wanted to do was help my people out.
And they were coming after you on that?
Well, I mean, it's business. Like, even in helping people, it's all a business. Every cent, everything that you do, every place that you go has to be accounted for. And you could give people money, but you have to show that you gave them that money. You just can't go buy this and buy that, and you know, they want to know, okay, well, how we know that went, you know, because people are funny givers. They're like, okay, you know, we want to know exactly where it went, and I can understand that, you know what I'm saying? So it took me a minute to even get myself in a position where I could properly help somebody.
We're talking with David Banner, if you're just tuning in, on his anniversary of the Katrina tragedy. By the way, have you seen Spike Lee's flick? Have you heard anything? Have you talked to Spike or anything like that? I know now because you're starting to, you know, get into, you know, the movies. Did something with Samuel Jackson and others. So I don't know if you all crossed paths and what you thought about his flick.
I don't know. I haven't had an opportunity to see Spike's film. Like, I applaud everybody's, you know, efforts or whatever, but I went through it, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm really not interested in seeing that, man. Like, it wasn't a good experience for me at all. Like, it's a very painful situation, and, you know, I applaud him for doing it, you know, I thank him for doing it, but that's not nothing I want to see.
What about Kanye West? You know, he threw down that big gauntlet. Have you guys talked? Have you guys built? And, you know, and I know we talked with Juvenile a while ago, and he did that video, you know, get your hustle on, but, you know, the thing where he showed Dick Cheney and all that. Yeah. I mean, have you guys, you know, a lot of you guys did something some way, somehow. Have you all talked and built and maybe tried to, you know, maybe even buy some of that land up yourself?
Juvenile actually was one of the people who made a comment that helped me keep going. Juvenile, he walked up to me and was like, dude, you an angel. And, you know, grown men don't say stuff like that. You ain't got to say that. He was like, dude, you an angel. He said, thank you. And, you know, Davey, in the realm of what we come through, bro, that's a lot of times all we want. Is it somebody to know that they appreciate our efforts, man? You know what I'm saying? Just thank you. I done had some people come up to me from New Orleans that, like, David Banner, somebody touch you, we gonna kill them. And that mean a lot to me, dog, to know that I'm protected by the hood, man. But honestly, man, I mean, people had a wrong idea about me, man. I'm not a Katrina guy. I'm not no, you know, I used to be into the movement deeply. I'm not into it like I used to be because I saw some of the weaknesses in the movement that my parents did before. So I'm not in the movement per se.
What were the weaknesses you saw?
A lot of our leaders wasn't about the things that they preached. You know what I'm saying? It's like they led people to the slaughter almost. It's like our parents were that close to being liberated, and then they lead us soul out. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people died. You know what I'm saying? So it's like me, I do what I can for my people, and I do it from the heart, but I'm not Mr. Katrina. It's like people try to make me be that. I did it because it was the right thing to do. You know, I keep it moving. You know what I'm saying?
You know, one of the things, I know T.I. has a construction company. And, you know, I mean, he's been very clear that, you know, it's a successful one. With the aftermath of that and hearing about the Donald Trumps and all these big developers coming into Mississippi and New Orleans and speculating on some of this property and all this other stuff, have you guys maybe looked into maybe sitting down and just getting some of this stuff so that you can keep it within the family, you know? Or is that just such an overwhelming task considering what you went through?
I'm gonna be honest with you, man. One of the problems with anything that we do as youngsters is it's hard enough for me to compete with my own record label Universal, much less do some of those things. It's like if I was in a position, then, you know, if I was at the level of a Kanye, if I was at the level of a Justin Timberlake or J-Lo, maybe, you know. But right now, I'm still fighting for my existence as an artist. And people don't understand that. People expect so much out of David Banner, but then I turn around and say, well, have you bought a David Banner record today? All these people that expect me to come to these free, you know, they want me to do this event and speak on this, pay me. Like, that's why I'm such on my business now. It's like, yeah, I can't truly fully help anybody until I help me. Because it was crazy. After all that Katrina stuff was over and people forgot that I had an album, everybody walked off and left me. You know, and I got to give, you know, a big shout out to Akon. You know, I got to give a big shout out to Jazzy Faye, Snoop Dogg, and Lil Jon. It's like everybody else, you know, just sort of walked away. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, hey, didn't I do the right thing? You know, and that's what made me realize that I do what I do for God and not for people. You don't expect your rewards in a physical manner.
You know, it's a hard lesson learned.
It's a hard lesson learned, but look at what I've accomplished from it. I'm a better man. I'm a stronger man. And I can honestly say in the generation that they say where black men don't stand up, I stood. No.
That's real talk right there and something to think about. You know, what's next for you now? What is David Banner doing? You know, you rested up a little. You know, you got your Heal the Hood Foundation. Now it's set up properly and everything. What are some of the next steps for you?
Man, it's a lot of people are saying that David Banner is a lot colder now. I'm about to make a lot of money. Like, Righteously D. And when I came downstairs today, D said, "You look like a superstar." Yeah, I'm about to be one. You know, because, and it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. If I was, and Jim Jones told me this. He said, now the difference between David Banner and a 50 Cent and a Jay-Z, he said, you gave 80 pairs of your own shoes that you paid for. He was like, but somebody like a 50 Cent or a Jay-Z can call up Reebok and say, send 100,000 pair of shoes to people in New Orleans and Mississippi. All right. So what Jim Jones was telling me in essence is if you really want to help people the real way, become a superstar. And then instead of you having high blood pressure, instead of you killing yourself, you can build. You could do what Mutombo is doing. You feel what I'm saying?
Mutombo, for people who don't know, he's over in Sudan, right, helping out his people, former basketball player.
And he gave $15 million, and he built a hospital. You understand? For his people.
So having that financial independence will allow you that sort of luxury.
Yeah, it'll afford me that type of luxury. And the more you have, the better you feel about giving. Like, for a minute, I was bitter, dude. Like, I can't say that I wasn't. Like, you know, for a minute I was thinking, and this was us being selfish in the flesh, I was like, dude, like, I really thought doing the right thing meant that you would be all right. No, dog. Thank you, David Banner, and everybody else who just came and did their performances and wasn't really into helping people like that. They went on and sold like 30 million records, and the guy that was, I was like, hey, what about me? What about certified in stores? Nah, it was too late. But what I realized in that is God has given me so much more now, you know, so much more peace of mind. And I think I'm going to be a lot bigger, a bigger person because I've learned all these things that we're talking about now.
What's one thing that you want people to get out of, you know, listening to this conversation today, understanding what you went through? What would be the one thing that you ask people, especially those who are in the hood that are listening, as well as people who would like to see the hood come up and the people within it, you know, do better for themselves? What would you like to see happen?
The biggest thing for you to do for the hood is for you to be successful. If you get out, you be successful, then that's one less person that's in the hood. That's one less family that's in the hood. That's one less generation that's in the hood. And then you're leading by example. You understand what I'm saying? These kids in the hood don't want to hear nothing about somebody who's not successful. If you're not selling records like these cats are, if you're not successful, what the hell are you going to tell these kids? The best thing you could do for a kid is for you to be successful and you be a shining example of the things that you're talking about.
We should also remind people, this is coming from your experience of being a school teacher for a number of years. So you're not just talking as an artist, but you're a school teacher for a number of years in Mississippi.
And one of the reasons why I was a school teacher wasn't because of the money, is because I wanted to teach kids in the hood. I still want to go back and teach. Because I want to be the type. Like, most of these teachers who are good teachers, they can't be teachers because they got so much pressure on them. They got all these tests that they have to abide by. And they really can't teach kids what they need to know in school. So I want to come back and, you know, I can cuss at the kids because, you know, I can tell them to go there and sit their bad ass down because I'm a millionaire. And them firing me from that little pissy ass school don't mean nothing to me. I build another one, you know? So, like, I want to be that kind of teacher, a real teacher, not, you know, because the funny thing, people say, well, David Banner curses and David Banner does this and David Banner does, he talks about booty. And I want to tell all y'all little preppy, pissy, grown folks who ain't doing nothing with your life that one of the reasons why you don't have no control of your kids because you don't relate to them. The same way that your parents used to criticize your music, how jazz at one time was the devil music. Rock and roll was the devil music. You know, the blues was the devil music. New Baptist contemporary music was the devil music. Anything that's not something that the elders are used to is devil music. The truth is, our kids listen to what the things that touch their heart. If you would embrace some of the things that are your culture, then maybe they might listen to you.
Something to think about. Well, Dave Banner, man, we appreciate you taking the time out, sharing us your thoughts. We're going to be on the lookout for you. What's the name of the movie you just did, by the way?
Black Snake Moan. But I want to say something. Comments that were said today in no way are a reflection of Davey D. This is a disclaimer. I want you to get in trouble, dog.
Oh, no.
We just get to the point where we're in a position of power. I don't want to blow up for you, man.
Nah, it's all gravy, man. It's all gravy, man. It's all love, man. Much appreciated. Well, Dave Banner, man, we appreciate you taking time out. We're going to be on the lookout. Go ahead.
I want to say one more thing really quick. Davey, I want to thank you, first of all, bro. The day that you find out that I wasn't just another pissy-ass rapper, bro, you really, really, really backed me in a lot of things that I was able to do. And a lot of times I'm not able to properly articulate how I feel because I get angry a lot of times. And, like, after I did the show here in L.A., the Summer Jam, like, I watch. You don't see that I watch you, but I watch you. And I've seen the way that you've tried to show people, you know, really what David Banner is trying to do. Because there's a lot more to what I do than just what people hear. I do the kind of music that I do because I'm trying to touch the hood. And I don't care what people think about me. As long as I can touch the hood and the kids in the hood, that's all that matters to me. I don't care what people in the boardroom think about me. And I appreciate you for being a proponent and being a support mechanism to what I do. And I say that in front of all America. I thank you.
Well, thank you, man. We out for now. Peace. Cool, man. Let me just get a couple of drops, man. First one for Hard Knock Radio.
All right, it's your boy David Banner, Mr. Mississippi himself, and you are now about to be exposed to one of the most phenomenal feats of all times, Hard Knock Radio.
Okay, the second one is for Breakdown FM.
Check this out. This is David Banner. I got to stop or break it down because you are now on Breakdown FM. What's your boy David Banner? Get ready.
And the last one is for the Underground, where hip-hop reigns supreme.
Can I say shit since it's underground? I can't say shit, huh?
No, try not to.
I'm going to say it anyway. Shit, shit, shit. You beep it out. No, I'm just joking. This is David Banner. You're now tuned in to Underground Radio. Yeah.
Okay, cool, man. Much appreciated.